Welcome back, everybody. Week 4 college baseball season already underway. Joined with Quentin and Nick. Not going to lie, not going to sugarcoat it. We don't have the sexiest slate this weekend, but we're going to cover it, all 8 of the matchups, plus all the ones you want covered. Q, Nick, what's up, boys?
What's up? Back-to-back good weekends for all of us. Hopefully we continue it, kind of like you said, with this ugly slate. Next week, power slate, conference for the SEC. I mean, that's college baseball. ACC is kind of dipping into conference play. I feel like you'll get better matchups next week, but it's a slate nonetheless. It's exciting to bet college baseball, so here we are.
Yeah, Big Ten in full force this weekend. I think almost every team except for Michigan State and maybe a couple others are playing somebody else, but yeah, it's going to be exciting to see like which Big Ten teams can kind of pull themselves apart from each other, because I think we've all been fairly surprised at how well they've all played going south so far. So that'll be good to see if we can get some separation. And yeah, like SEC, it's just one of those weekends. Same thing as doing college football right before conference play starts. It's like they all kind of play some gimmies, make sure everybody stays healthy, get their rotation in order, and then just look forward and build the next weekend.
Sean says I need to change my background to Las Vegas ballpark. I will say that was one of the nicest stadiums that I've ever been to, especially for a minor league team. It's really cool if you ever get the opportunity. It's like a miniature version of Allegiant Stadium.
I think you'll start seeing that across the board, because now there's less teams, less that you have to worry about financially. You're going to start seeing like Potomac Nationals was a dump. They've been playing at Fitzner Stadium since the 70s. They got a brand new stadium in Fredericksburg, state of the art, obviously where you were just at. Like, I think now that there's less teams, these organizations will start putting money into the minor league system. And then we knew a couple years ago, they got that like 60% raise. So it's good for the sport to see that, especially when college baseball can utilize those.
There needs to be more preseason tournaments, or I guess not preseason, but early season tournaments out there. Like if there's not a tournament every week for the first 3 weeks in Las Vegas, they're missing the boat, because it's too nice of a stadium. It's too easy of a place to travel to. And I'll be honest, like Texas Tech, I thought there would be a lot more there. There may have been like 3,000 or 4,000 people. I mean, when you compare it to Arlington and having 18,000, it's pretty crappy. We saw a lot of bad baseball, but a lot of overs. The wind was crazy. But the fans just really didn't travel. It was mostly just family and friends.
I think it works out better in minor league baseball stadiums personally, at least like from a TV vision standpoint. Because some of those games like in Arlington and Houston, like there's nobody in the outfield and it looks so just like bland. There's nobody in upper decks. So like with the size of SEC stadiums, they kind of mimic what the size of some of those minor league stadiums are. And I just think it's a better television product that way. I get it as a player. It's awesome to be able to play like in an MLB stadium. I got to do it a few times, but it's just one of those things TV product wise. I think it's better in minor league ballparks.
Do you think it's worth the juice is worth the squeeze though? Kind of, Nick, like to play in that stadium versus like what the ratings could potentially be in a ballpark. It's just I don't know, like kind of echoing what you said, it looked so much better seeing the Vegas tournament versus Globe Life. And one of the things I was saying to my old man was like, it's a noon game and Globe Life, I feel like I'm watching a night game. Like there's no sun. And I've heard it's an amazing stadium, but at the end of the day, like the sun, the fan interaction, like looking crowded to me sells the sport better than somebody tuning into Flow Sports and be like, oh, it's nighttime and there's 6,000 people there and it looks empty. I don't know if it's, which kind of leads me in my other point, like these early tournaments, should CBS Sports and maybe Fox Sports, like, they should be jumping all over these and get like a bonus, you know, rating coverage. Cause I think they would absolutely crush Flow Sports. They would crush Peak and all these other companies. Like, I think it could grow the game, make these more, you know, pertinent tournaments or better looking, I guess. What y'all's thoughts?
Yeah. Even like ESPNU, or like ESPN has the rights to college baseball already. So it's like, even there should be games on ESPN basically all day long. I know like it's college basketball season for them right now, but there's still
the Jimmy V
really a reason.
All the coverage in the world.
Or SEC Network, like ACC Network, like any of those, we don't see games there. And then even when the SEC season starts, we might get one a weekend. It's just, the coverage should be so much better.
So Las Vegas ballpark holds 10,000 people.
And it looked
standing room.
It looked full. Like, obviously 10,000 to 40,000 is a huge difference.
But so there's 8,200 seats. You could fit 10,000 standing. And then between all the press box, media, standing room only, the record maximum attendance could be 12,111. So, I mean, I feel like that's a little bigger than most college parks. Like, what's Condren? Like 7,000 people?
Yeah, 7,500.
Yeah, I think LSU holds the most, and it's like right around 12, or it's like 11,500 or 12.
Yeah, they have a lot of the outfield seating for them. As tall as it is, helps a lot.
Yeah, same with Mississippi State in their outfield.
The Aviators guy said there's absolutely more people here than the Aviators game. Yeah,
well, here's the perfect college example. Baseball's
a draw.
There's also four teams.
Only holds 20,000, and it looks like it's a sellout, and it usually is. If you put that and a major league ballpark, it makes the College World Series kind of look like a Tuesday night, like MLB game. So there is kind of that argument of Matt saying there's only 10,000 seats, but it looks full. It looks like a sellout. Yeah. It ages people. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Gets it done. ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
It's good, except for these early season tournaments where you're getting the best.
Yeah.
Matchups are the ones.
You guys spent $80 for the first month.
Yeah, I haven't been.
There's D-Dub.
There he is.
Kentucky sweep this weekend, 14-1 going into Georgia. Dude, we just updated the numbers on our site. It likes Kentucky. Kentucky is a gauntlet again, made up of, to steal Campbell's, a bunch of nobodies. It's guys you haven't heard about.
Nick, it's funny. I'll keep it short before we get in. Eating breakfast at the hotel we're staying at in June. And I'm looking, I'm like, man, this guy looks familiar. I've seen him before. And of course, I'm that guy, like, he's pouring like gravy on his biscuits and gravy. I'm like, hey, you played ball, didn't you? And he was like, yeah. I was like, I think I've watched you pitch before. And he was like, yeah, I played for Kentucky last year. And so we ended up hitting it off. Like, we kind of hung out with him throughout the weekend. And that's how I met Darren. Awesome dude. Took care of Matt and I. Matt, I think, tried to buy his like cream Kentucky jersey off of him. He wasn't coming off of it though. But awesome guy. It's pretty cool.
We didn't do ourselves any favors with Kentucky fans all season. We just kept saying that they were not legit. Yeah. We would see,
and then we post with the mascot, like, we're Big Blue Nation. Yeah.
Bucket says, please talk about the UNC game. I don't know enough about this Stanford team. We've seen Matt Scott pitch for a few years now. He was like the game two guy behind Quinn Matthews back in the day. But 327 Sierra, we're assuming it's going to be Jason DeCaro for North Carolina. North Carolina is an absolute gauntlet this season, though. I mean, they're hitting well.
Starters we have.
Pitching well. Got a three-headed monster at the starting rotation. The website just really loves North Carolina here. I think Scott's probably their best opportunity for the Cardinal to get a win. But you're talking about traveling across country. North Carolina, they, even when it's tight, they feel like I feel like they come out ahead. So it may be not a five-run game, but North Carolina seems like the right side.
Yeah, if you watch some of the Stanford games this year, I'll give you a little insight. They struggled to beat Washington. They had to come from behind, and I think three out of the four games. The same can be said when they played, I believe it was Cal State Fullerton. Like, Cal State Fullerton, they couldn't shake them. And they haven't been good in 10-plus years. And that's just even with Matt Scott on the mound, like last year he had a high ERA. This year he's given up some runs, a little lower ERA, so there's been improvement. But he also hasn't faced a lineup that North Carolina brings to the table. And then not only that, but the pitching staff, like they have not seen anybody close to DeCaro, Fulgher Boas, and Aiden Hoff. So I think, like you just said, that the site loves them. I think it's absolutely justified analytically. And then if you've watched the Tar Heels, they've played a 12-inning game. They've, you know, had to come from behind. They've also blown teams out. They've essentially played every style of baseball that you can in this short, you know, season. And I think being at home is huge as a Stanford welcome to the ACC, come across and play at Omaha Contender as your first weekend series. So I think UNC, if you can get a good number, is a great parlay piece.
Icky?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the pitching difference here is kind of where I see that is where I see it the most. Let's see what Stanford looks like. Like they played well. Their offense has been pretty good. Like I wouldn't say it's been great by any means, but it's also been not really against great pitching staffs. We saw what happened to Washington in that Conway tournament, just kind of gave up a ton of runs, whether it was Kansas State and Coastal. So yeah, UNC here, like especially with this pitching matchup, especially Stanford coming all the way across the country. Like that's a 6-hour flight. So that's not easy. However, I will say it's so hard to sweep like in conference. I know these two teams are new as like conference matchups. I could see Stanford stealing one. Maybe it's like one of those like go away games on Sunday. If like North Carolina gets the first two, but I'm most excited. Let's see Rentaro Sasaki against like this Jason DeCaro. Like that's the matchup I'm looking for. Like these are going to be two MLB guys. Does he get his first home run of the season this weekend? He's been banging doubles off the wall, but still homerless. So let's see if he gets one this weekend.
Is it for sure DeCaro throwing?
We're not sure 100%, but that's who they've been throwing.
This is their beat. Who is that?
You can't go by those, Maddie. I tell you.
Yeah, you can't go by that.
It's probably wrong. 75.
This is so annoying.
They have done that. They did it last year. They did the year before. Like they're one of the worst announcing teams. But just run the three pitchers real quick. You already know who the
Jason DeCaro, Jake Knapp, and Fulgher Boas.
It could be Knapp or Paul.
Who pitched? I didn't see. Who started against Coastal? Because that'll tell you if it's Hall or Knapp.
Hold on, I should just be able to go to my history because I was looking.
You're sitting at five either way, which I'll be surprised if Stanford loses by five.
I think it's a 2-run game, like a 6-4, maybe 7-5. It's just
really high on them right now.
Well, they're one of the best teams in the country, rightfully so.
Stanford offense has been solid all season. The screams over to me. It kind of depends. North Carolina could slow pitching down. They're both hitting 36 and 44% above average.
If I had to guess an over-under, I'm saying like 13.5.
No, Sean, the social media manager for the Twitter account is never in touch with the coach. They just throw up a graphic.
Yeah.
Do we confirm who is throwing for Penn State? Still trying to figure that out.
They have not posted.
Knapp threw last Saturday. Aiden Huff threw last Sunday.
And who threw against Coastal? It could have been a freshman or something.
I don't know.
All right. But
either way, it's DeCaro gives you the biggest margin.
Yeah. It's still
going to be five runs. I still think it's going below that. Like, if you could give me Stanford plus 4.5 runs, I'd take that.
Yeah.
I do like North Carolina in a money line parlay.
Boas started.
They're the better Tuesday. Team.
Boas started.
Started okay. Tuesday against Coastal, yeah.
So then he probably wouldn't even be scheduled until Sunday.
Yeah, at the earliest.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the next one, Notre Dame Wake Forest. And just to confirm, Nick, not a Notre Dame baseball fan.
No, I think I said on here before, they were like the only team in the state of Indiana that didn't recruit me out of high school. So it's kind of anti Notre Dame. Everything's changed, bad blood. Obviously with the Notre Dame family and everything. But so yeah, football, Notre Dame, baseball though. Yeah, I live here in Knoxville, so it's been Tennessee because I've been coming to games even when they sucked back when I moved here in like 2013, 2014.
There's the pitcher that's starting for Notre Dame. I feel like he's been there about 7 years, Jack Riddell. I'm pretty sure
look, he's
on a small team.
The little arrow, do you know what that means? We just incorporated that on the quick screen for the starting pitchers. That's righty versus righty. And if it points the other way, you can guess.
What would you do if you had
extras?
What would we have done if we had to do Gerangela?
Yeah, Gerangela.
You do both of them. That's easy. Hey, Coastal Carolina ECU. Yeah, I totally blanked, and they didn't make the graphics card, but I'm definitely going to talk about them because
yeah,
we'll make a bet on it. Q, my other screen is blocking the bottom half, so I'm going to need you to like show comments and change the graphic over so I can see the next matchup.
Yeah.
But Logan Lunsford going for Wake Forest, Jack Radel going for Notre Dame. Notre Dame, outside of their run where they upset Tennessee in the Knoxville Super Regional a couple years ago, I don't really think they're much to write home about. 3.3 margin of victory projected here for Wake Forest. It's parlay, Wake, or anything. I think the number is pretty accurate to what it was, minus 285 on the site. What are y'all doing with this one?
Wake is a great parlay piece. Logan Lunsford has hit the pitching lab and done really well. It's a good change for him. I think he's pitching with confidence. And then Radel, like I said, he's been there about 7 years. He's not bad. I mean, you take him on a lot of teams for sure. But Notre Dame just offensively, like, they're really not a wagon. Wake Forest's offense is one of the best in the country. Surprisingly, Wake Forest's bullpen has kind of blown some games. Mm-hmm. Some games have been tighter than they should have been, which is odd because they kind of came in as preseason one of the better bullpens. Now they can absolutely turn that around and be just fine. But Wake is a great parlay piece. I would even be curious, and that we haven't got them yet, but the run line, like if you can catch them at a 1.5, I would imagine they'll probably be 2.5, though. I would jump all over it because I think they'll win by 2 or 3 runs here against Notre Dame in game one. They're going to score some runs, that's for sure.
Nick?
Yeah, I used Wake. I think it's a good parlay piece. Well, Logan Lunsford is one of those – yeah, it's like they changed. Like, he just got that lab, like Q said. Like, he was not that – like, it was surprised. We were all surprised when he signed with Wake anyway because he wasn't, like, some, like, stellar guy that was in the portal. So it's kind of surprising to see him go from Missouri. And so, yeah, I think this is a good parlay piece. Notre Dame's been good to start the season, traveling south. Wake, I think some people have been scared off their bullpen. I'm ignoring completely that UNC Greensboro game that they had midweek. Like, that happens to them 2 years in a row. I just think it's one of those in-state kind of rivalries where
UNCG
cares. Yeah, they care more. So, yeah, I trust Wake. I do trust Wake here, and I use them.
Who has Wake played?
You could say that about a lot of teams. Like, yeah, so you're not, you could say it about Florida outside of the Miami series. You could say it about Tennessee outside of the most last weekend's tournament. Like, it's just how they schedule them. I mean, they're going to get into the meat of the – especially ACC and SEC teams. Don't worry about who they play non-conference because – they're not going to schedule major, major teams. They don't need the RPI help like these other schools do. They're playing in the ACC. They're playing in the SEC for, you know, 10-plus weeks. So that's kind of really not a good gauge on these teams, to be honest.
Now, they should have overinflated stats for who they've played. But,
sure.
I mean,
that's a fair point.
You still look like they're 10th in Team Sierra. They're 7th in Team Weighted Runs Created. I don't care who you're playing against. I mean, that's good. I think Wake is still the better team. Sure. But did they lose? They lost to Maryland.
They did, and Princeton.
6-7 to Princeton.
Maryland's got a good offense. We said it backstage. We'll talk about it, but.
All right, what's next, Q?
The next is – Dallas Baptist, Louisiana. It's an interesting one. Louisiana was really good last year. Well, I can't think of his name. They had a stud center fielder last year. I mean, just an absolute monster. He goes to the draft.
Pitching.
No. I did not see.
Hold on.
We're going to start seeing him trickle in a lot today.
Current line is Dallas Baptist minus 167.
No, this is one I didn't have. Yeah, neither team had named it.
Yeah, I didn't see it when I checked this morning.
I don't know what is up with Chase Morgan. I don't think he's starting. And he's their ace, in my opinion. So this is one of those weird ones. Like, this isn't the normal Louisiana team. I think they're probably fifth through eighth in the Sun Belt. This Dallas Baptist team, L. Wanger is their favorite pitcher who's not starting today. He's starting on Saturdays for him. He's been doing that all season. So Saturday, I think, is more of the DBU play. This number is a little inflated, at least like in the books it's inflated, in my opinion. This is one I'm kind of staying away from. Yeah, okay. 1 of the 8. I can't really do that on the road. It's still a tough place to play.
167 on Bet Rivers.
Yeah, it's still
you're getting a lot of love though. Get that 11-0 win over Oklahoma.
Yeah, dead. They're playing well. I don't hate an over. Like, let's see what the over is here too. Like, with both teams, neither team's throwing an ace. So it could be one of those check temperatures, check the wind. Because this could be an over, especially like being a Friday. If the books, like, we know the books don't always pay attention to some of these kind of smaller school games. So if we get it like at a 10.5 or something, there's a chance.
There's your pitching matchup.
You found it.
Yep. Micah Bucknum versus Matthew Holzhammer.
It really didn't change.
Nope. DBU minus 146. Or pay 167.
They're a parlay piece of ass.
71% just straight up on predicting winners from the projections through the first 3 weeks. Pretty good. Trying to narrow the gap on the run margin, though. It started off like 0.5 for starting pitchers input. I think it's up to like 3.5 where it's off. Matt Dobek. For what it's worth, DeSanto has posted his social media. Yes. That's so good. That's a relief.
I mean, it does hit occasionally, but it's so inconsistent.
What?
The graphics. Unless they're like unless it's like an official roster graphic.
They're not even in, unfortunately, none of the 5 books I use have them at all today. Because I do like Penn State, especially if they're a dog, which I think, we'll talk about. But, it's a surprising underdog to me.
Oh my gosh.
It is weird. All right.
What's next? As I try to remember Penn State's baseball Twitter handle.
Oregon, USC.
I know that this one is technically a home game, but it's not. It's in Irvine.
Why are they supposed to be back in our season? It's like mid-season, right?
I don't know. Is it Grayson Grinsell versus Caden Hunter?
Yep.
Yes.
It's going to like Oregon.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
If you like this matchup, play Oregon today, USC dude, with Caden Aoki.
That's actually cheaper than what the line is, isn't it? Oregon minus 200.
Who won the series last year? Do you guys remember? Because I think it's big in this series.
I don't. I think this is Oregon's best team last year, but they might have.
Biggest thing to me is look how much more power the Ducks are hitting with. Way to runs created at 196. They're fourth in the country. This is a Ducks team that didn't really pitch well. They're still in the postseason, I feel like, every year. Now they're hitting good. Trojans don't have the bats. That's what I was getting at.
That's where I was.
Maybe back Caden Aoki when he starts in game 2, but not in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Ducks have a lot more power. Nick and I both said it on the preseason show. Like, they went out and got some home run hitters in comparison to a team that just kind of hit around. USC pitching has been there the last 2 years. No strides offensively, in my opinion. They're still a 3-1 game, 4-2 type team, and it's just not going to work.
Yep, I agree. USC is
Sunday puncher. Appreciate all the engagement. It's awesome to have you guys in here.
Yeah, I mean, I got Oregon. Looks like they're up to 154 on DK. Still playable, in my opinion, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
167 at Bet Rivers.
You do it. Okay.
Bet it. Because Bet Rivers and Oakland are the same here. So, like, whatever Bet Rivers posts, Oakland just copies it. No line originators, which was why we didn't have a show last night, because nobody would set a line. Hit the like button and help these three guys out. God knows we need it.
Follow us.
I still can't find Penn State Baseball's Twitter account.
I found Penn it. State Base. They do have a picture of him in the game preview.
Penn State Base.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It's so – but yeah, it's one of those. Are they just assuming? Because there's there's no game notes or anything up.
Come on, bring the energy. We're dragging on. What's next? Q slacking.
No, you didn't.
What? What kind of order did you go in?
I'm going.
Yeah, we're right.
Read a book.
UConn, Miami.
Yeah, and then you go to the next one, and then you go down to the bottom.
Well, we've already done Penn State.
No, we haven't. Just somebody asked.
We didn't do. We just you started talking about.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Sorry. My condolences.
Yeah.
Oregon minus 180 on FanDuel.
Oof.
I'll tell you, if you're betting baseball, do not bet on FanDuel. They're also so inflated.
155 on ESPN.
Yeah, you get way better lines, like MGM, Caesars, DraftKings. 154
on DraftKings.
So our friend Noah Beanick said in our group chat that UConn is an ATM. And I said, they have not won many games. And he said, yeah, you just bet against them. UConn taking on Miami.
So, you know, it's weird. And I saw a stat that like the last 3 years, they've started like 3-10, 2-7, like 4-9. And then they've made at least regionals or super regionals.
Figure it out.
Yeah, it's a weird team.
Who do we have pitching? Do we know?
Nick either, Robert.
Yeah, Robert. It's either Van
Ian
Eman.
Book or Van Eman.
Yeah.
Those are their two guys.
Let's just see. Yeah, Miami. Shout out Hook C and the Classic M. It's a good logo matchup.
So Miami's got really good starting pitcher this year. They haven't had three quality starters in a while between Nick Robert, Griffin Hugues, and Brian Walters. The problem is their bullpen. As soon as Florida got into their bullpen outside of the third game, it's kind of when the wheels fell off. This would be so Miami to drop a series they have no business dropping. Like, that's just Miami baseball of the last 5 years.
Who is the other starter you said for UConn?
Cook.
Ian Cook.
Yeah.
That was their ace last year.
I wouldn't hate Miami in a parlay piece. I also wouldn't hate if he just kind of stayed away. They're a weird, like, no, they're not like a Wake or UNC where it's a definite.
Minus 345. Wow. They're minus 345 on.
Yeah. Here. That's why it was a stay. It was also, the book had a huge too. So that's why, it was a stay away for me. Not even a parlay piece or anything. UConn. Yeah, they've taken off bad. But UConn's also
done they do the that
last 3 or 4 years. It's one of those where they don't practice outside and they go south, kind of get worked for the first few months. The Big East outside
home right now either.
Yeah,
that's then they'll cool. beat
and the Big East
everybody in the Big Xavier, East and Xavier be in the regional.
Creighton. Yeah, Xavier and Creighton, and then they sneak up on somebody like what Super Regionals last year. So it's just one of those teams that give them time. But, it's the talent there, we'll see, because they lost a lot of guys from last year.
For sure.
Okay, one that we had mentioned, I want to talk about it, Coastal Carolina, East Carolina. I think the wrong team is favored here. You got Luke Jones taking on Ethan Norby. Jones has, I think, only pitched three innings. He's really just been a reliever. Norby's been stud, 204 Sierra, 385 XFIP. Yes, Coastal has a slight batting advantage. Actually, they're hitting 100, so they're dead even. ECU's 96. I think ECU plus money is the only bet you can make here.
Coastal's going with Luke Jones.
Yeah, I'm not. Colin McKay's not pitching at all this weekend. I'm not sure why. So I saw a lot of people betting him like early this morning, and I was like, "Oh, I hope people know that like the pitching matchup." Because yeah, if this was Colin McKay, it's a different story.
For sure.
No, this is one I'd stay away today.
I do like ECU's side with Norby though. If McKay's not pitching,
you can get also a better number than I did, plus 135.
Yeah, and in the jungle, that place is going to be rock like this. Yeah, this is, for some reason, it feels like these two teams don't play that often, like, for being like so close. So this is going to be one of those. I think that the fans will show up. So it's tough right now, but I would take, one of the other arms for Coastal the next couple of days.
Appreciate it. Nick is our official Discord guy.
Yeah, we have a
Discord. I go total boomer and like, there's too many tabs to screw with. I don't post it a whole lot. I'm trying to look over my screen to see these comments because Q's not doing
it. I was trying to let you finish.
It's hard to produce, host, and run the tabs. Let's go riding with the jungle.
Yeah.
Hey, Bucket.
Ron Burgundy says Stanford wins, by the way.
Ron Burgundy needs to be on time for the shows. This is unacceptable.
Ron, we need to have a conversation about South Carolina baseball.
Hey, Buckets, real quick, comment under our show so that I can send you the link as soon as we're done. Please.
All right, what's next? Go to the other tab so I can see the big screen again. ECU.
Can we do this? Somebody requested – and I think it's a good matchup, UNC Wilmington, Southern Miss.
Where am I? What am
I doing? I think Southern Miss takes out a lot of frustration today with JB Middleton on the mound.
Who did Southern Miss just upset the other day?
They got blown out 18-3 by Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
I feel bad for UNC Wilmington having to come to the Pete tonight after that. I literally, in the third inning, it was 2-1. And I go to make my kids food, and I turn around like an hour later thinking it's back on, and it's 18-2.
JB Middleton, do we know who's pitching for UNC?
Zane Taylor.
Yeah. Personally, go against the website, Southern Miss with confidence. There's certain things you can't cap, and that's you can't put input an 18.
What do you mean go against the website? It likes Southern Miss.
Yeah, but only by one.
The number is like 200 now, or like 180 is what he was saying.
Shit. Yeah.
I love him.
Give me the Seahawks. That is their mascot, right?
Thanks for your donation.
Hank Taylor, 271 XFIP, 110 Sierra. Yeah. They may not be able to hit.
Yeah, Southern Brandon, exactly. Yeah.
I may go opposite of y'all just for some fun.
I'm glad you donated.
Plus 1.5. I don't know.
Nope.
Oh, Liam.
We're not saying that comment.
Nick's going to go on a rant if you post it.
I'm not. I'm gonna make him
wait. I haven't seen it.
I'm going to make him wait.
Just do it.
Just get Nick, it. Comments. Real quick, blindly, what do you think it's about?
I hope he's saying he's overrated or something. Oh, 23. No, honestly, I don't know. I won't go on a rant here, but he's been way better than expected. Like coming from Louisville, we knew how good of a hitter he was, but his issue last year was strikeouts. Like he struck out a lot and like didn't walk much. And this year, his strikeout ratio, I think he's walked like 15 times as 3 strikeouts.
He's had a lot of gap to gap last year. This year, it's more defense.
Yeah, and it's not just the Tennessee – like, yes, obviously Tennessee's field helps. He's hit 3 at home, but he also hit 4 in – well, I'm still going to call it Minute Maid last week. So, yeah, he's on fire. And he has protection behind him, which helps.
Sunday Puncher, you know I've got you. Arkansas. We'll talk about Arkansas versus School Carter of the Gaston. Death Blind. Carter Gaston. That's what I was going to get to. Yeah, he's on our fantasy team. Dude was a stud last year. He's off to a 0-3 start, but his numbers are good. We'll get into him. Indiana has been starting Gavin Siebold first game. If it's DeSanto, it's Penn State. If it's Horwat, it's still Penn State. I think I got them plus 107 last night. They're minus 124 now. Still think it's playable. Side has it minus 129. I just saw on MGM,
they're still holding at 107.
What?
MGM still has them at 107. Oh, well, I'm perfect. Sorry, Valley Bet.
Okay, I was going to say MGM. I literally just opened my MGM app, and I was like, wait. Because I was going to play them, but I haven't seen it.
Valley Bet.
It's not in any of my books. It sucks.
Yeah. It sucks.
I still think.
What's the total on it, Q?
The smart play is a half unit. It's a doubleheader today. So at some point today, you're going to get Ryan DeSanto. Half unit play, early game. If it's DeSanto, try to double up before the game starts. If it's not and you lose with Horwat, just double up and bet DeSanto in game two.
They don't have an over or under posted.
They don't.
Just have a run line. Penn State plus 1.5 minus 180.
Yeah, it jumped. When I sent it out 40 minutes ago, it was still 135.
What's our total have it with DeSanto? Because right now, 7, like 15 is what our site is.
It doesn't change. Yeah, it doesn't change much. Mm-hmm. Which the only reason I think the totals are so high is because both of these teams, they're way like 166 for Indiana's WRC.
Not realistic.
They're hitting better.
I'd say it's like a 7-5 game.
Have we had a Devin Taylor sighting yet?
Is he
doing anything yet?
Only on the lineup card.
Oh, all right. What's next?
Should have taken the money.
What's next? We have Purdue.
Here, we'll get into this one just because it's up.
Yeah.
I don't know what the total is going to be, Sunday Puncher. Site has it at 12.
I want to know over under how many runs Arkansas is going to give up in the first inning. It was 5 against Charlotte. Then they had another like 3 spot the next game.
Gabe Gackle. Gabe Gackle has been off to a rocky start.
Shoot.
Say the least. Gaston, better pitcher head to head with Gackle in every category.
West Coast Conference Pitcher of the Year last year.
Yeah, but still projected to lose by 6 runs. Arkansas found an offense, boys and girls. Cahill Aloy, best batting average in the country.
They found brothers. They didn't find an offense.
I'm glad he did it against the IMGs.
No, look at this. 169 weighted runs created plus. This was a team that was barely at 97 last year.
Take them off the team, and it drops to 97.
Take out the Washington State series of 4 games is what I was going to say.
Do that.
Take off the 2 Aloy brothers, and they're sub 100. One's batting like 600. The other's batting like high 3s.
Iredale's been decent.
Yeah. You said Souza. Was he going to win the Silver Slugger now? It's
100. No, I didn't. Yeah, their fielding is terrible. 199th in fielding percentage. They won't win a game, but run line cover.
Oh, and
maybe it depends on what it is.
It'll probably be pretty big.
I think probably 4.5.
Yeah.
We'll see. These guys, see what I have to put up with. Arkansas statistically has a good offense, and then I say Arkansas has a good offense. Just get obliterated for it.
Arkansas statistically has a good offense because they have the 2 Aloy brothers.
66%, no, 69%, nice, above average offense. But
yeah,
by all means, let's talk about Florida and Tennessee more.
They're better than A&M right now. They're better than A&M's offense right now.
We don't have to cover Florida, but I will say this: Capola's getting second opinions. Aiden King's going to step into his. It's TBD on Sunday. As good as Billy Barlow threw, I think he threw 6 strong the other night. you could see like a Clemente Barlow kind of 1-2 thing that like Tennessee does on Friday nights, where you throw two starters and hopefully the bullpen doesn't get too taxed. But that's just something of note with Florida. And then Cade Kierlin is already rehabbing from his shoulder dislocation, so that's a good sign. So you'll see him hopefully in the next couple weeks. And then Kyle Jones, their center fielder, is out for the season, torn labrum against Miami. Didn't see the play. If I did, it wasn't noticeable. Like, he didn't come off limping or anything or holding his shoulder. He dove for a ball, and now he's out for the season.
Yeah, that was the same thing.
Florida should take care of business. Harvard,
yeah,
terrible.
Look at that. Harvard's brutal. Yeah,
297th in fielding.
The only team remotely decent in that is
Penn. Errors per game. Ugh.
Except for when Cornell plays Duke.
All right. What else?
All right. The next one is Purdue, Minnesota. I don't know how you put this on your card.
Because Purdue has Logan Sutter, who is absolutely raking right now.
I would say Minnesota has played some good ball over the last couple weeks. They gave Arizona State, 2 out of 3? They played Houston well.
Why? Why is it like Minnesota?
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's Brandon disgusting.
What is the line? Disgusting. You know what's bad is this. It's like any sport. I guess basketball would be okay, but you put this matchup on a football field, you say the exact same thing.
Yeah. It's gross football. Gross baseball. Not basketball.
In that stadium, I introduced Q, you weren't here last night, but I introduced Smitty to where, like, do you realize they're playing in the Vikings stadium?
Yeah.
The outfield dimension, like, it just looks awful.
Yeah, they started that 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's just – no thanks. It is a disgusting watch.
Why is there not a line?
I haven't seen a line anywhere for this either.
Trying to figure out why the site likes Minnesota. Because in my opinion, I would hammer Purdue.
Yeah, it depends on what the home field – like, click on neutral and see what, like, if that makes a huge difference. Like, I don't know what
shouldn't
he has set up.
Flip. No,
basically, yeah.
But still, they think it's a close game. They're 95th in weighted runs created compared to Purdue's 180. And I'm telling you, Logan Sutter hits a baseball like he's mad at it.
Put in Will Sim for Minnesota.
Who?
Will Sim. It's like S-E-M-B.
Is this his first start?
Or Kyle Remington. It's one. It got to be one of those two.
Kyle Remington? Yeah, still Purdue. Short. I'm looking for a line.
All right.
Cannot find it. But Bet Saracen has Oregon minus 150. That's the best number I've seen.
If you're a subscriber, all four of our plays have been submitted. Nick, I'm sure, is waiting for run lines totals.
Yes.
So you'll catch up part two of his. But it's 10:50, and everybody has posted plays.
Over 2.5 there. That is minus.
Well, my phone just started talking. All right. Is there any other matchup?
Yes, there is one more. It's UCLA and Maryland. And then
that's weird about.
He means cover each of these teams. Obviously, they don't play each other.
That would have been a good series.
Yeah, that'd be a banger series. Right.
We've got starting pitchers in there.
Javonte, two good parlay pieces. Like, it's kind of tough to touch on those. I think Auburn wins. Like, I'm playing it more because SEC is on Friday nights. SEC team, this is one of those where I could see them dropping one this weekend. Shouldn't be today. And then Oregon State, as much as kind of they've gotten grief about, like, they're not undefeated. Like, they kind of struggled a bit down in Arlington. I still think they're very good, and we'll continue to back them. But yeah, it's just one of those.
I liked this last year too.
Yeah, I trust both those teams. They're too good parlay pieces. Sure.
DeSanto confirmed game one.
Is he good?
Brandon, I see your comment. We'll get to it after we cover this matchup.
It's like 71%, Kurt, in picking outright winners. The first week, we thought we'd struck gold. It was an average margin of 0.5 runs that it was off. If you combined the total, now it's sitting at about 3.5. So we're trying to adjust.
It's still using
about 90 or 80% of 2024 stat, or no, sorry, 80% of 2025 stats, 20% of 24s. So we've seen a lot of roster turnover, trying to sharpen that up. Right now we're about 90-10. So the more games, I feel like I'm not seeing everyone else's message. I think everybody else is on YouTube, Bucket. Is Brandon said, is Duke going to handle Cal? Did you touch on that? Because y'all, I know y'all talked about Duke in the group chat.
I told him we'd talk about it after this series.
Oh. This one?
Yeah, I think this is an over. It's a stay away for me. Two weird teams, like UCLA is playing the cold. Shouldn't affect them too much. It's actually not terribly cold up this way. I live like 45 minutes from Maryland. Maryland 7-5 coming into this. Everybody thought they were going to be better than what they are. They've kind of started rocky. They can hit the ball. The Hocopian brothers can rake, and they have another guy. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But UCLA has definitely looked improved from last year. So it's a weird matchup, in my opinion. Two teams that you just don't really have a defining judgment either way. They show talent, and then at some points, like, they lose to Corpus Christi and – Maryland, you know, Maryland can't pitch to any one of us on the show without giving a base hit. But then they look great. So, I personally, this made the card only because it's a weird slate, but it's a far, far away stay away from me.
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, just because he said, dang, I was leaning Terps.
That's
you
what
can make the case. They're a better hitting team. UCLA's got to travel across the country. Look at pitching. 411 to 443 XFIP, 337 to 303 Sierra. I mean, Kyle McCoy is probably, if Maryland's going to win a game in this series, it's going to be game one.
It needs to be. Yeah, I think the play here might be, because this is a number I'm waiting on. I think we get Maryland at +2.5. It might be juiced to probably -125 or 130, but I still think that's worth like a half unit or something play, because that's how I'd play it. I think I was hoping to get Maryland like at a bigger number. I think it's +125 now or +130. I was hoping to get like a 150 here at this line. Didn't get it, so I stayed away from money line stuff. So I'm hoping this gets to +2.5 run line when it comes out, and then I'll be looking closely.
Do you find it more valuable to take the run line on a road dog that way that the bottom of the ninth doesn't come back to kill you? Because, like, if you take a home dog and they're down, you're pretty much screwed going into the ninth unless they rally. Like, at that point, you might as well just have them on the money line.
Yeah, but then they also –
wait into the road dog.
Getting yeah, but there's plus. Also games that are 6-2 heading into the ninth, and it ends 6-5 and you get a cover.
Yeah, I think home dogs are better because of that extra at bat. Just because of, the +2, especially at like a +2.5 or +3.5, having that, it's not an extra bat, just, but you know they're getting a ninth inning. So I like it that way. Road dogs are, those are kind of tough, especially, except for midweeks. I love midweeks.
So I'm different. I think if I was going to take a run line on a dog, I'd rather have the away team.
See, I don't have
Rivers. That way, if the home team's winning 3-2 or whatever, I don't have to worry about the game prolonging. It's either they're going to lose or the home team's going to tie it up and win by one run, you know?
Okay, well, Penn State today was opened up at +1.5. You take the money line for small, and then you also take the +1.5. Look like gold.
Are they on the road?
No, they're at home. I'm going against your theory. I'm saying a home dog. If you get to be a dog in your own stadium, like, to me, that's always the side you want to be. Unless
I'm not talking about just that, though. I'm just talking like betting theory of your likelihood of winning, covering a run line.
Apparently on 2.5 on Rivers. Yeah, I need that to open in mine. Hopefully I need to see what the juice is.
Hang on, if they do,
pretty high.
I can bet that. Probably will. All right, any other matchups?
The Duke. Didn't we want to talk about the Duke one
real quick? Yeah, just talk about Duke to wrap it up. We only got like 3 minutes.
And then you can hear us more on Jeff Dawson's show, where we get to do less production and more talking. Instead of just silent handicapping. Thank you all for being here, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Duke -4.
Mm-hmm.
Duke's trending up. Wow. I mean, quietly. They start off bad, and they, after the Cornell series, like, they started
hitting.
Cal struggling. I mean, they struggled to score all week. They had one, I think it was the Sunday night game. They had a 4-game series. They had like a 9-0 and then just turned around, took all momentum and threw it in the trash and lost again to lose the series. Like, they're not that good. To have to then travel to Duke when Duke's kind of starting to turn things around offensively, that's a tough spot. I mean, as much as I bashed Duke early in the year, like, I think they're a good team to bet on this weekend. More so fading Cal.
Yeah, I think if you look at the better teams, like, they played well against Nevada. Took 3 out of 4, but the better teams, like, you look at Houston, they lost twice and then got beat 3 out of 4 against Santa Clara. So it's like the two best teams they've played, they've won 2 games against. So I think that kind of says a lot. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, coming across the country is something that's obviously we're gonna have to monitor throughout the season, just like we did in college football.
Yeah,
but it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see it, right? You got Stanford coming across and Cal coming across. Let's see how they do. Sean, I'm on the Anteaters. Yeah. I mean, I'll just give it right now. They're a great parlay piece. They're playing such good baseball right now. Long Beach State just kind of struggling to score. I really like the Anteaters right now. So much confidence.
How's San Diego State doing baseball?
I think they're 4-8 or 4-7. They had their game canceled last night against Northeastern.
Yep.
I liked Northeastern in that matchup. I
think that's where Sean played. Old San Diego State.
San Diego State, the old Aztecs. Was he there when Strozzi was there?
Yeah, he's got some Strasburg stories. Apparently, Strasburg was terrible in high school. Like, had a mid-80s fastball everybody could hit.
San Jose State.
And then, San Jose.
Yeah.
Shows how much I pay attention, Sean. Sorry. But, yeah, Strasburg then got on campus at San Diego State and just completely flipped. Kind of like Liam Doyle going to Tennessee.
I watched San Jose State.
Now he's number one MLB prospect for pitchers.
Sean, did you watch San Jose State get walked off the other night? I did. I had St. Mary's.
What is Tony V doing in Knoxville?
For Liam Doyle, that's Frank Anderson.
Yeah,
Tony does pretty much nothing with the pitchers.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah, and you look at now he brings in Tanner Franklin, like, threw hard at Kennesaw State, and I mean, but he was like up to like 97 and just struck somebody out last weekend at 102.2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's like there's just something, whether it's the lab they have, mechanic, like, just something. It works, obviously.
All right,
we gotta wrap it up.
On to East Coast Sports Investors with Jeff Dawson. You guys hop over. We'll send out the link. Thank you all for being here. For Q, Nick, and myself, we will see you next week. Good luck if you tell our bets. See ya.